2 Thessalonians chapter 3, continuing on in our series that we call Seeing Jesus, finding Jesus Christ in every single book of the Bible, because we believe that when we see Jesus Christ, he can change us to be like Jesus Christ, and that's our goal. We want to be like Christ. We don't want to be like ourselves. We certainly don't want to be like who we used to be. We want to be like Jesus Christ. So we're asking him to do that as we study his word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul writes to this church and he says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And tonight we want to see Jesus as the Lord of peace. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd help us as we spend time in your word this evening. May we receive it as it is in truth the word of God and not the words of men. Lord, may we hear from you this evening, and we pray that you would speak to us now through your word by your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I read an article, and this article online, it listed 70 weird facts, but it had a really interesting title. And the title of this article promised something. Promised that this list would do something. And I'm not going to tell you what that is yet. I'll tell you after. I want to share some of these facts with you. I want to see if it does what the article promised it would do. I'm not going to read all 70. That would take too long. So I curated a list of five tonight. So here's some five weird facts. Number one, crocodiles can gallop like a horse. That was one of the weird facts. Apparently, they call it the full range of footfall patterns for quadrupeds. So things with 4 feet and the patterns that they use, crocodiles can do all of those. So anything you see a horse do, like the way it runs, a crocodile can do that as well. So that's one fact. The second fact is only one person is known to be able to voluntarily change the size of their pupils. They've only found one person who could like dilate their eyes on purpose. Number three, the rest of us have to pay the eye doctor to do it for us. Number three, tulips were once more valuable than gold. If you're wondering when that was, apparently in the 1620s, tulips were worth more than gold. So go harvest those and see what you can get for them now. Number four, Abraham Lincoln is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Before he was a politician, he wrestled, and he did 300 wrestling bouts, and he only lost once. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And he got himself into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Last fact, here we go. Number five, there are around 2,000 thunderstorms happening on Earth at all times. That's according to the National Severe Storms Laboratory. 2,000 all the time. All right, so there's five facts. That's kind of representative of what this list was. The title was 70 Wonderfully Weird Facts That Will Make You Question Everything. How many of you questioned everything? All right, I actually have some people. Not like... Yeah, so question everything, right? I think that maybe they meant everything on that list, but they didn't say that. They said weird facts that will make you question everything. I can understand we questioned some of these on the list. I didn't double check them. They said they verified them. I didn't verify them. But you know, I hope it didn't make us really question everything in life. But you know, it seems like we come through some times in life where circumstances will happen and things will change in our life. And it does bring up questions, almost to the point where it's like we question everything that we once thought we knew or once thought we believed, and now all of a sudden, because the way our life has shifted and things have changed, now we've got a lot of questions, and specifically questions that we had answers for in the past, and those answers were good, and now all of a sudden it's like we revisit those questions, and the answers that we used to have, now it seems like they're not satisfying us anymore, and it's like we're looking for other answers to that. And as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he's writing to them really about a specific subject and a specific topic. And I want to look in chapter 2, in verse 1, and Paul says to them, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us." Here's the subject: as that the day of Christ is at hand. And Paul he's writing to them, to a group of believers, that he understands they're troubled and they're shaken in mind. And the idea really is that they've got some questions now that they thought they knew the answers to, but now people have talked to them and whatever, and now they've got those questions again, and they now don't have answers. Questions that they had answered are no longer answered for them anymore. And Paul writes them, and he calls this idea being shaken in mind, right? Which would be the exact opposite of peace. Now, in his previous letter to them in 1 Thessalonians, which we've looked at, Paul wrote to them about the rapture of the church, that the church would be taken out before the tribulation, right? Before the day of the Lord, before that day of wrath came. He said that the Lord will come with the shout and the trump and the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, right? Then we which are alive and remain, and we've looked at that. And so they understood this, right? They knew this, that Christ would come back prior to the day of the Lord that would come as a thief in the night. But now here's their perspective. And if we go to chapter 1 in verse 4, Paul writes to this church who, he says, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith. And then he says, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So they've been going through some stuff, right? They've been going through some tribulations and persecutions. And if you know the history of Thessalonica, there was a group of people there that were very against the gospel and against what Paul had preached. And they kicked Paul out, and they even kicked Paul out of the next city that he went to. So that's where they were. And so they were going through some of this tribulation and persecution. Paul says, I'm writing to you because I know you've been going through this. But also in chapter 2, that verse we read, in verse 2 of chapter 2, they be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us. And from that, we kind of get the sense, and we take that to mean that somebody wrote them a letter claiming to be from Paul, right? Not a letter as from us. Somebody wrote them a letter claiming to be from Paul, saying that they had missed what Paul had said before. That Paul had said, hey, the rapture is going to come. He's going to take the church out before the day of wrath, before all this judgment takes place on earth. Somebody wrote them a letter, said, this is Paul. You missed it. You missed the rapture. It came and went, and you're still here going through all of this. And they got this letter and went, wait, what? Like, all of a sudden, we thought we knew what was going to happen. We thought we knew what Paul had meant. And now we get this other letter that says it's from Paul that, and now we have all these questions we don't know the answers to. We thought we understood what was going on. Now we don't know anymore. And Paul says, I don't want you to be shaken in mind. I don't want you to be troubled because of this. And I wonder if maybe we're here tonight and we're kind of in that same boat. Not that we have questions about whether we've missed the rapture, but other questions. And questions where, you know, a year ago we go, I know the answer to this, right? I know what the answer is, but now I'm having questions about that, right? Questions about things in our life. And we've come to the point where maybe we're like Paul describes as being shaken in mind, where all of a sudden, like, the foundation doesn't seem as solid as it used to be. And we've got questions where we're not real confident on what the answer might be. And sometimes these questions come up because of things that happen at work and or our health, finances, just different things with relationships and all of these different things. And it could be about so many things, politics and COVID and all of these different things can cause us to have questions. And I'm talking like spiritual questions, right? Not questions about like physical things, but spiritual questions that we should know the answer to, that there is an answer for, and yet we're having trouble finding that answer and coming to that conclusion. And when we hear the term shaken in mind, it's the picture of like an earthquake, like a mental earthquake. But you know, an earthquake happens and all of a sudden everything that like a minute before was, you know, you're confident in the foundation and the ground seemed completely solid, right? You had no thought that you would have trouble walking from here to there. Then an earthquake happens and everything is shaking. Things are falling off the walls. And all of a sudden you go, I don't know if I can make it from here to there. I do not know if I can walk from here to there, because all of a sudden what seemed solid a minute ago isn't anymore. Paul is writing to this group who were right there. They said, we thought we knew all of this. We thought we had the answers, and all of a sudden we don't anymore. And Paul writes to them about that. And there's times where we can find ourselves in that. And living that way with unanswered questions is a real drain on us spiritually, right? It's hard for us to move forward. It's hard for us to really grow and to keep going and do what God wants us to do, be who God wants us to be, if we live that way with questions that we don't have the answers to. And so Paul, at the end of the book, he says, listen, here's what I want for you. I want the Lord of peace himself to give you peace always by all means. He says, the Lord be with you all. And that's what we want for us. That's what I want for you. That's what we want for each other. That's what you want for yourself, is for the Lord of peace, Jesus Christ himself, to give us peace by all means, right? In every area of our life. And having peace is the opposite of being shaken in mind. So how do we make this switch, right? The switch from being shaken in mind to having peace. And, you know, it's easy to go, well, it's simple. Just don't do it. Just don't be shaken in mind, right? Just don't do that. And, you know, it'd be nice if things were always worked that way. But I've learned that in life, it's not that you can just take something out, but it's really that you have to replace it with something. You know, if you're trying to not eat unhealthy foods, you can't really just be like, I'm not going to eat anything I ever ate before, right? You got to put something else in its place, right? Sadly, you have to replace it with like a salad or something healthy, right? That's all I think of when I think healthy is salad. But, and I mean, it's that way in our spiritual life. If we have spiritual bad habits, it means we've got to replace them with spiritual healthy habits and good habits. And so here's how Paul helps them, all right? These people that were shaken in mind, questions that all of a sudden they don't have answers for anymore. Paul reassures them of something in verse 3 of chapter 2. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, right? Even by a letter from that says to be in his name. He says, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that as he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And he goes down through and talks about some other things that are going to take place. But I really want to focus on verse 3. The first thing he says, where he says, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now, it's hard to understand exactly what Paul is saying when he says a falling away. It's the word for apostasy. And so it's possible that Paul is saying that there will be a noticeable spiritual falling away, a spiritual departure before Jesus Christ comes back. And this is backed up by other scripture where Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, right? Some shall depart from the faith. He also said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Right? In the last days, things are going to spiritually keep getting worse and worse. And maybe Paul is saying, it could be that Paul is saying, there needs to be first like an expansion of the church, and then there will be a lot of people that fall away. And Paul's saying, I haven't seen that happen yet. Right? I know it's going to happen, but that needs to happen before the rapture will take place. Right, so maybe Paul is saying that, and we would look around and say, I think it's happened. Right, I think we're in those last days where things have really gone that way. So it could be that Paul is referring to a spiritual falling away. Some people think that this falling away is a reference to the rapture itself. Right, the rapture has to happen before the events of the tribulation. The idea of falling away being like things that are taken away, speaking of the church. Either way, it's the same idea, right? Either one that Paul is referring to, it's all coming down to the same thing that Paul's saying, what I said to you before is true, that you're going to be taken out, that there will be a removal of the church. And he says, you have not missed that. And Paul writes again to one more time, reassure them of what he has told them. And so Paul writes to correct those things that they have believed and really to give them this answer for their questions. But as we understand this and how Paul deals with them, who are shaken in mind, there's two lessons that we learn from this. The first lesson is this. What we believe affects our peace of mind. What we believe affects our mind and the peace that we have. We know that peace with God comes from our relationship with God. It comes from salvation, right? Peace with God comes from salvation. Peace with other people comes through unity and humility, serving others, forgiveness. All of that's worked by the Spirit of God. Peace in our minds comes from believing God. And we know in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." What's the next part? "Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, an unshaken mind, because his mind is stayed on thee because he chose to trust in God, right? So what we believe affects our peace of mind. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And when the Thessalonians began to question and doubt the truth and what they believed, all of a sudden they found that their peace was gone, right? Their peace left and they were left shaken in mind. And I really believe that all my worry and all my fear and all the times that I'm worried about things, all of that can be traced back to unbelief, or if we even call it this, misbeliefs, right? Where I'm believing wrongly about really who God is and who Jesus Christ is. If we were to go to the New Testament, we won't go there, but we could read the story about Peter. Remember when the disciples were all out in the boat and they see Jesus Christ walk on the water to them in the midst of this storm. And the Lord says to Peter, "Why don't you walk on the water to me?" And so Peter, right, in an act of faith, he steps out of that boat. And that it's like the waves are solid ground. He is able to walk to Jesus Christ, and he's looking at Jesus Christ walking toward him. And then the Bible says something. It says when he saw that the wind was boisterous, it says he began to be afraid. And in that moment, right, his attention shifts. All of a sudden, he looks at the wind and goes, "Whoa, it's kind of windy out here." And then he looks at the waves and go, "It's really wavy." Right? There's a lot of these waves here. And as soon as his attention goes from Jesus Christ to these other things, all of a sudden he doubts and he starts to sink below the waves. Jesus Christ reaches out his hand, catches him, pulls him up. But then he says to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He looks at Peter and says, "You know, you're doing fine as long as you trusted and you had this firm foundation as long as you had faith. But the moment you began to doubt, all of a sudden you began to sink." And that's the way it is in our life. As long as we're looking at Jesus Christ, as long as he's that focus for us and we're believing in who Jesus Christ is, we'll be on solid ground and we'll have that peace of mind. It's when we start to doubt Jesus Christ that we become shaken in mind. Peace is the product of seeing Jesus properly and seeing Jesus really biblically. But it's when we start to question, then that goes. But our peace is there as long as we can say, I know who Jesus Christ is. I know what he said. I know exactly who God is. I know who he is based on the word of God. If we can say, I know who God is through the word of God, that gives us that firm foundation where we can have peace. Another example is in Acts chapter 27. Paul's on his way to Rome and he's in that boat. And again, it's another picture of a storm, right? This storm blows through and everybody else on that boat is afraid, right? All the weathered sailors and the captain, they're afraid that the boat's going to go down and they're going to drown. And yet Paul is able to stand forth in the midst of that storm, look at them and say, verse 15, he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." When the rest of them were shaken in mind, Paul stands there in peace and confidence saying, the only reason I'm confident is I believe God. It wasn't that he knew how to sail better than the rest of them or knew something they could do to fix the boat. In fact, that was not the case. He says, "I believe God." That's why Paul was confident. What he believed affected the state of his mind. Because he said, "I know what God has said. I know who my God is. I have peace of mind even when everything else seems to be falling apart." What we believe affects our mind. It affects the peace that's in our mind. And now I'm not saying that anyone who is worried about anything is all of a sudden like an atheist, right? Where it's like we're walking around saying evolution is real and there is no God. And, you know, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. And that's what I believe now. It's not that we've swung all the way in that direction, but it's really misbelief. I like to call it misbelief, where it's we're not believing accurately about who God is, or it's that we're not choosing to trust in God in that moment. And unbelief and doubt sneak in so many times on the back of like unanswered questions, where we have questions about, you know, why would God do this? Or why would God allow this? Or how could this happen? Or what's going on, right? What's going on in my life? I don't understand the plan of God. What could God's possible plan be? How could God possibly have a reason for this in my life or let this happen? And we start to have those sort of questions. And the issue isn't the questions. And I've said this before. It's not the questions we have. It's the answers that we accept to those questions. And many times it's just that we kind of leave them unanswered. We don't give our heart an answer for those when we know where to find the answer. And the answer is always Jesus Christ. He's always the answer. And I know that can sound really cliche, right? That Jesus is the answer. You know, if in a Bible quiz in my class, if kids don't know the answer, they're like, well, you might as well put Jesus down, right? Jesus is always the answer. It didn't come across as pretty cliche, but it is the absolute truth. The questions that you have, you need to find the answer in who Jesus Christ is. All those questions. And maybe you want a different answer. Maybe that's not one that you're happy with, but that's the one you need to be happy with. Because we will find the answer to all these questions that we have in the person, the nature, the character, the work of Jesus Christ. What he's done and who he is. But it's when we have these questions that we leave unanswered that we find ourselves shaken in mind. And we let what we believe really become distorted and twisted and changed. And we let our emotions do that. The emotions of fear and sometimes anger and different ones, we let those emotions kind of influence how we believe in that moment. And it's also a lot of times by the way we interpret circumstances. Because in everything that happens, there is what it is, right? The facts, it is what it is, we say that. But then there's also sometimes the meaning that we give to that, right? The interpretation we give to the events that happen in our life. We were watching an Andy Griffith episode. I think we're up in Maine. Anyways, this episode, there was one guy who, in this episode, he had a string of bad luck, right? Things just weren't going his way. And so Barney, you know Barney, right? Barney Fife. He kind of came up with the theory that this man was a jinx. And so that's what they called him. And so they, like him and the rest of the town, with the exception of Andy Griffith, you know, because somebody's got to be level-headed. The rest of them go around going, man, this guy's bad luck. You know, he just jinxes everything. And they started blaming everything that went wrong on this guy. Like this guy. And to the point where they were like ready to kick the guy out of town. And then Andy, you know, swoops in and gets them to realize that it's not. But it's like they took all these circumstances and were like, I know the meaning of this. The meaning behind this is that this guy is causing me all this bad luck. And we do that with circumstances, right? We do that with events that happen in our life, we put a meaning on top of them. And the problem is, though, when that meaning then twists how we trust God and twists how we see God. When you know, we get in a car accident and the car is totaled and that's how it is, and then we put a meaning on top of that saying, well, the Lord must have done this for a reason. And we go, well, maybe the reason is... And we apply something that's not consistent with the character of God. And we allow those events to have this meaning toward us that's contrary to what God has said about who he is and how he works and his love for us and all of those things, right? We give it a different meaning. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves accepting an answer that's not consistent with who God is. And all of a sudden, we are misbelieving. We've allowed ourselves to believe something that's not who God is. We've allowed ourselves to accept something. And when that happens, all of a sudden we become shaken in mind. We used to have the answer for this question, right? We used to know the answer to that, but all of a sudden we've run up on that question again. And now we either leave it unanswered or we give ourselves a wrong answer to that. And so we find ourselves shaken in mind because what we believe affects our peace of mind. And so Paul gives them this answer to their question and says, here's what you need to believe, right? Because what you believe affects your peace of mind. But there's a second lesson in this. The second lesson is this. If you want peace of mind, you need to see Jesus because he's the Lord of peace. If you want peace of mind, you need to see Jesus Christ. You know, everything in our life, it always finds its roots in the gospel, doesn't it? I mean, that's why we're told to remember this, right? To never forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. Never forget the gospel. And so I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Paul's going to write to them about the gospel. Just give them what the gospel is. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, so here it is, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now I read that because I want you to see the narrowness of the gospel. Paul says, this is what the gospel is. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we need to believe in that. That's where salvation is found. It's in believing in Christ and what he's done for us. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Right, the gospel is very narrow. There is one way to be saved. Right, it's trusting in Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross for us, who was buried and who rose again. Right, that is how we are saved. We're not saved just believing that Jesus existed or that he lived a life on earth or that he was a good man or anything. It is believing in what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. That's the way to be saved. Right, the narrowness of the gospel. And in order to have peace of mind after we're saved, we have to be that narrow in our beliefs about Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus Christ according to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Not just anything that we've made up or not something that has become twisted in our minds. It's believing in who Jesus is because of what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And you know, there's many ways that we can become shaken in mind. Right? There's many ways, right? Life can throw all sorts of things at us, and we can allow those things to bring up questions that we just don't answer in the right way or don't answer at all. There's a lot of ways we can become shaken in mind, but there's a very narrow way in how we can have peace of mind, and that is by believing in Jesus Christ and doing it accurately, according to what the Bible says. And this is why the Word of God plays such a big part in helping us have that peace of mind, is because it tells us exactly who God is, exactly who Jesus is. It gives us the clearest picture of Jesus Christ so that we can see the Lord of peace exactly how he is. That's what we need. If we want to have peace of mind, it's going to come because we have chosen to see Jesus Christ and trust in him exactly as he is, exactly who he is. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And we can become still when we know who God is. And that's how we have a firm foundation, is when we can say, I know. I know God is. And then we fill in that blank with something from Scripture. I know that God is loving. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that Jesus is able. Because we know that from Scripture, right? I know that Jesus is greater than anything I face. I know that Jesus never fails. And we can go on and put in that blank what the Bible says about who Jesus Christ is and stand there and say, I know this. I believe this. I know who Jesus Christ is. And that, all of a sudden, answers those questions that we have. When we say, why would Jesus do this? Why would God allow this to happen? Why this? How could this happen? When all of these questions that we have, right, we find our answer and say, well, this is what I know about Jesus Christ. I know he loves me. I know he's going to take care of me. I know and we fill in the blank from Scripture, and we say, that's my answer. That is my answer for these questions. I'm not going to leave them unanswered. I'm not going to leave the answer blank. I'm going to say, I'm going to find my answer in Jesus Christ. And we get peace of mind when we see Jesus Christ. That's where we find a solid foundation. And, you know, we can, it's easy, though, many times for us to go, okay, you know how long I've been saved? You know how much I know of Scripture, right? I know who God is. I know who Jesus Christ is. And yes, we do, right? As believers and as people who have been saved, we know who he is, but we have to know him more and more, because life is going to keep compounding the questions, and those questions are going to change or be worded differently or be attached to different circumstances. And so the answer is we've just got to know the Lord more and deeper and fuller and closer and whatever other word you want to put in there. That needs to be our desire. If we want to keep having answers to the questions that life keeps throwing at us, we've got to keep knowing the Lord more and more. It's never where we've reached a point in our life where we go, don't need the Bible anymore, right? Got it all down, know all the answers. We have to keep spending time in the Word of God. Keep asking the Lord to show himself to us so that we would see Jesus every single time. And I want to go to one more passage, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, I think we're going to cover every single storm that happened on any body of water in Scripture. Because here we go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And again, Jesus is going to take them out on the water. Verse 35, on the same day of Mark chapter 4, when the even was come, he saith unto them, unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side, the Sea of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind when the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And if we stop the story right there, if we just freeze that image and we end right there on that question where they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What does that tell us? That question, what does that tell us about how they were believing and what they were believing in that moment? Because it brings up a question that they had where we go, there's an answer to this, isn't there? There's a very obvious answer in who Jesus is and his character and his nature to this question. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And probably if we had asked them before they got in that boat, if they were standing on the shore of that of the Sea of Galilee, and we said, does Jesus care about whether you die or live? They would go, of course Jesus cares, right? Jesus loves us, Jesus cares about us, and our master, he takes care of us, right? They would probably give that answer. And then they get in that boat, and all of a sudden things change, and now all of a sudden this question arises, and all of a sudden they know the answer, right? But all of a sudden they have this question, and all of a sudden their belief starts to waver a bit. Right? And it starts to just have this question where all of a sudden they don't have that definite answer anymore, and they need to, and really they know where to find it. So we keep going in the story. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the storm, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And that's the answer to their question, was just to trust in Jesus Christ. And if they trusted in who he was, they would have found the answer to that question, an answer that should have satisfied them and would have satisfied them. The answer was that Jesus Christ did care for them because that's who he is. But their answer wasn't in the midst of that storm. It wasn't, you know what, we need a bigger boat or a better boat, or, you know, we need some more people to help us row or whatever they were trying to do, or, you know, just we need some way that we can fix the boat. Or fix, you know, the way we go across the water. That wasn't the answer. And sometimes we try to answer our questions in that sort of way. Like if I just fix the circumstances, then the question will be gone, and I won't be afraid anymore. I won't be worried anymore. I won't be shaken in mind. But fear always seems to find a way to just poke another hole, right? And to poke a hole in our future and say, oh, you thought you've figured everything out. Well, how about this? And how about that? It's like fear never seems to give up, right? It never seems to stop trying to get us to ask these questions. And if we're constantly leaving the question just unanswered, it's just going to keep coming back up. We have to find an answer, and we know where the answer is. We know who the answer is. We know exactly where to go if we want to find the answer. And it's not until really we see Jesus Christ and we see him as the Lord of peace that then we're going to have those questions answered. We're going to find we're no longer shaken in mind. We've got that firm foundation because we've seen Jesus Christ and we know who he is as the answer to our questions. So the lessons Paul gives them in 2 Thessalonians is, listen, what you believe affects your peace of mind. It does. What we believe, what the misbeliefs that we have, the unbeliefs that we have, the questions that we leave unanswered, those affect our peace of mind. And the second lesson was, listen, if you want to have peace of mind, you need to see Jesus Christ and see him as he is. So again, I wonder tonight if we're here with some of these questions where life has just thrown something at us. Maybe it was unexpected, maybe it wasn't, but whatever it is, it's left us with some questions about how life works and how things happen and why and what and when and how and all of these questions that we have. And I wonder if we've allowed us to just let those kind of sit without giving them the answer that we need to give them, not going to the place where we know we can find the answer. And you know, right now I could read you all sorts of verses about who Jesus is. And I thought about it, you know, and this verse and that verse and all these sort of things. But what you don't need is for me to give you these verses. You need for Jesus Christ to give you those verses. That's what it comes down to. It's all of us saying individually, I'm going to go to the Word of God and I'm going to find these answers. Because it is different, isn't it? When someone gives you a verse versus like the Holy Spirit of God leading you to a verse and you see it in Scripture for yourself. Right. And, you know, somebody can go, all things work together for your good. And you go, thanks. Thanks a lot. You know, and then you read it in Scripture and the Lord hits you with it and goes, listen, all things work together for good. And it's just different when God gives it to you compared to when someone else. And as important as for us to share Scripture, it's just different when we find it for ourselves and God gives it to us personally. And You're going to have questions. We're always going to have questions in life. But listen, don't leave them unanswered. Don't leave them unanswered, right? See Jesus Christ as the Lord of peace. We know where to find the answers. And if you don't want to be shaken in mind, you don't want to live your life that way, see Jesus Christ. Go to him as the Lord of peace and find your answers in who Jesus Christ is. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for who you are. And Lord, we do so many times struggle with things in life. It's part of who we are, but we understand who you are. And Lord, help us to see our answers in you. Lord, may we not be content to just go through life with all these unanswered questions, but help us to see you as those answers. Lord, may we just sometime this week find time to get alone with you, Lord, that you may answer all the questions that we have in this life. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.